mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I declare that your love stands firm forever, and that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your life forever and make your throne firm through all the generations. We share the knowledge of Jesus. We share the knowledge of Jesus. Please stand. I'd love to tell the story.
They come and they go, don't they? All so quickly. Just wanted to remind you that before I get into the bulletin here, that if you are interested in just a copy of this little thing here, it's called Hope for the World. It gives you a little bit of insights of what's happening around the world, rather than just in Milford or Spirit Lake, Okoboji, Arnold's Park, or Iowa, kind of news. You know, have you heard, if I said, do you know what AI is? You know? Yeah, artificial intelligence. Something new out there. Do you know what that is? This tells a little bit more about it. Do you know that there's a whole new Ten Commandments that are coming out because if you're part of the new Green Deal? The global climate change type of a thing. They've got a complete 10 different commandments for the world. A lot of different change, a lot of different things happening that this tells you about. If you're interested in wanting to know a little bit more about what's all about, we can make a copy for you, but if I don't hear from you or Charlie, you won't get one. But I just want you to know that, hey, there's something available that keeps you informed on what's going on around the world. Remember, you never used to hear anything about Russia. Even about 20 years, you never really heard much at all about Russia. Never heard much about China. Now it's in the news. Those two countries are in the news, as well as some others. But at any rate, if you're interested, got some good stuff here that you can read at your leisure as well. We'd like to welcome all the members that are here today, the new members, and I'm going to do something different. I know last time some of you said, you know, we had to go stand up front and we had to say something in the mic. You're not going to have to do that today. You get to stand up where you are and turn around and smile. And the reason you're smiling is because you don't have to say anything. But I'll just kind of introduce you. But and as I introduce you, I just want you to stand. And so I'm going to do it in alphabetical order. Eric and Angela Berg. There they are over there. I'm glad that they could be here today. I wasn't sure if you're going to be here today, because not everybody could be here today because of conflicts with scheduling and stuff. But so far, so good. We start off good. And then you got Larry and Becky, the birthday girl. They're new members here today. Stand up. Thank you very much. Mark and Tammy Ebel. I don't think they're here. Mark is back on the road again on his 18-wheeler. Tammy's the one that had the transplant of the kidney and the liver in the hospital for over a year. And they just said, they couldn't say enough good about Harbor of Joy, just people that were helping them along the way, praying for them. And they said, you know, you did more than our church, and we want to come and become members of your church. That's kind of their reasoning for this whole thing. So they transferred their membership from Estherville over here to Milford, to Harbor of Joy. So we're thankful for them. And they're not here, but be looking for them. Whenever you see them, just kind of go like, hey, so glad you're here, and so glad you're also a member, too. The only thing that a member does differently than, you know, it's kind of like, you're not going to be treated second-class citizen if you're not a member, okay? The only thing that membership does, it allows you to have a vote when it comes to a business meeting. And I just kind of think that if you are, no matter where you give your offering, no matter if you're giving an offering to anything, I think it's just good that you have a vote. And what on where your money goes and how it's being used type of thing. So just keep that in mind as well. But the next couple is Craig and Carol Holman. There they are. Craig and Carol. Now you might not know, but Craig is the son to the handsome Alan Holman there. And Sharon is the mom. So they just kind of moved here from, you were in Bemidji, weren't you? Before that, you were in Sioux Falls. And here is someone let the cat out of the bag on Mother's Day. Oh. Is it going to happen?
When's it changed?
Oh, it's changed, okay.
The first Sunday of May.
The first Sunday? 2 weeks from today. Can I say something or not? Okay. I won't say anything. But Craig plays a mean trumpet. I mean a trombone. He's got a side trombone. He's going to do a song, I think, 2 weeks from today. And that might change, but however it works out. I didn't talk to you afterwards on something to do with building, some kind of thing, but we'll talk to you later. We're glad that you're here today. Also, next is Bob and Carol Jensen. Bob and Carol Jensen. If you've ever been to a Jensen Furniture Store in Estherville, they were there for many years. So, but they moved to Orleans, and we live closer by, but we're thankful that they are here. And their son and daughter are from Colorado, who are here today. So that's who you need to see. That they made it the whole way driving here yesterday, right? Everything. So I'm glad that you're here as well. And you can be here. You couldn't be here on a better Sunday than to know that, hey, mom and dad, I can't believe it. The next one is okay, Ruby Mel. She's not here because she works today. She's an RN at the hospital in Spirit Lake. And then Cindy Whirling, the last one because she starts with a W. Cindy. Blessings. I'd like to just have a word of prayer for the new members before we move on to the announcements here today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these people. Lord, no one has twisted their arms. No one has put any pressure on them to do this. This is just something that they would like to just take that step in their lives. And we're thankful that they're here. We're thankful for the step that they've taken as well. And we just pray for them today, knowing that whenever you have new people that come to your church, Lord, it changes the complexion. And they add to the church family as well. And we're so grateful for that with their gifts and their talents and just with their presence here. We're so thankful for them. And so we just pray your blessing on them in a way that we don't even know what that blessing is. But may we know that they feel at home when they come, that they're loved and that they're cared for, and that Jesus died for them, and that's something that's very important to them as well. So help them as they grow in their faith and as they just touch the lives of other people around them that we know today and those that we don't know that are still yet to come. And so we just thank you for this wonderful day to be able to introduce them and to have them to be a part of Harbor of Joy. And we just pray that if they can stick around and have a piece of cake and let people come and visit with them a little bit today, that'd be awesome as well. So we just pray these things in Jesus' name. We give you all the credit, Lord Jesus. It's because of you that they are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I just forgot to tell you that afterwards, they're going to have some cake and coffee. And just in case you're here, this is completely different. Move from the members to, if you have someone graduating this year, you saw a colored picture in your bulletin today of, we had something unusual happen here. Was it last week, Dave? Yeah. 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, we had the Frito-Lay people that are, I didn't know there was a Frito-Lay in Milford. But they had two trucks that broke down, and then they had to throw away all of their chips. And they found out because of Dave, and Dave heard it because Bob and Carol came over and brought some stuff before, that they go like, well, could we take them in our blessing box? And I can't tell you how many boxes they gave us. And that's why I'm saying that if you know someone's having graduation, or even if you want a box, you leave today, talk to Dave and John.
Both.
Either one. John, where are you? Okay. Just you guys stand up just so they know who to go see. If you want some chips. And just tell them you want some chips. Yeah. You just go and talk to one of them. You want some chips before you leave today, and they'll take care of you.
But so. Thanks again, Bob and Carol, for the connection. That one gave me the number to call Greg.
Yeah.
And so, again, thank you for your connection on that. It's a great, they're going to be great donors going forward to joining the church.
Yeah, man. I think we'll take a couple boxes. But somebody said, you know, it's not very healthy. I said, I know, but it sure tastes good.
Also, one other thing, we're so busy with all the traffic coming through now, people coming in, and the box is emptying all the time, that John and I are stepping it up. I'm going to do it in the mornings, and then he did it in the afternoon. So we set it once a day, filling it up, we're going to fill it up twice a day.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you. Next Sunday, just want you to know that next Sunday we do have our annual business meeting. Just want to make sure you know that. All the friends of Harbor of Joy are welcome to be part of that, members. And the booklets are available today. If you want to read a week ahead of time some of the reports that have been given, it gives you a good idea what's happening here. Because of you, we can do the things that are in that booklet. We are so appreciative of that. But please take one before you leave today if you haven't picked one up already and read it. Because if you got any questions, next Sunday is a good time to bring up the questions that you have after reading the annual report. So we really appreciate that. And also this coming Wednesday is our last Joy Kids, Joy Us together on a Wednesday after school. And keep that in mind that there's going to be a closing program at 5:30. It'll be a short meal program. We're going to have supper, and then there will be games after that. But at the supper time, if you want to give to Next Life Foundation, there will be a basket there for you to give that. And that's and it goes along with Patty Griffiths has done over the years in Tanzania, Africa, and helping young ladies learn how to sew so that they can make some money and make a living that way, and some guys that can learn how to make furniture in Tanzania. And so that's where the offering goes, to help the Next Life Foundation. If you got any questions, she's the one on the drums, by the way. If you got any questions or like to learn more about that, talk to Patty, because she's the one from right here that got something going there and on the other side of the world. And so she can tell you more about that. And so we're thankful for that, that we can have that coming up this week. As well as Dean Ramsey wanted me to tell you that his surgery went okay. He's not here today, but he said he wanted to thank you. He asked me to thank you from him for the cards and the texts and just the love and the concern that you have for him. And they're in Faribault, Minnesota with their daughter, Becky, and Mackenzie, and Camden, and Cheryl, yeah, Cheryl, I say Cheryl. She's there. That's his wife. But they wish they could be here, but of course there's things that couldn't take place. But the surgeon said this. Now the surgeon that he was going to have had a car accident, and he couldn't do it, so they canceled it. So they flew someone up from Walter Reed Hospital from Washington D.C. And the surgeon said he's never seen such a big neck. That's what Dean has. So pray for him as he doesn't get infection and he continues to recover from this. And I know Dean well enough to be able to say sorry, Dean, if you don't like that, I just had to say. And then just let you know that Curtis Jazz, he is back home. He got home on Friday, I believe. And we're thankful for him as he got a knee replacement. And it's the first time we got something color. You see the color picture in your flyer? Really good. Thanks, Charlie. And there's other things in there. You can read them. But let us just pray for our service today, because I've been a battle broke here. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a praise band that's here to lead us in song. Thank you for the words that we can read on the monitors and those that put those together from week to week. Thank you for Zoom, and thank you for those that are tuning in, watching us by Zoom as well. And Lord, we pray that you would use what is heard here today that will fall on good soil, where the seed that is the gospel of Jesus Christ It'll take root. It'll sprout. It'll take root, and it will grow in the lives of everyone that's here today. And so we thank you for so many things. Thank you for the new members. We thank you for the opportunities we have during the week. Thank you with the things that happen with the blessing box that we're not even aware of. But thank you that we've got two guys that will just make sure that it's restocked, not only just once, but now twice a day. And it's things are going. And we have no idea how or who is using it, but we know that we are meeting a need in this community and maybe in this area that we're not even sure of, but we're helping people. And that's what it's all about, because Jesus, you did that all the time, and may we continue to do that for you and along with you, because, I mean, we can't do it ourselves. And thank you for laying on our hearts the things that you've given to us, where we can join you in the work that you are doing, not only locally or nationally, but also internationally, in telling people about Jesus Christ. And so we just commit this service into your hands today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. response reading today begins this way. I stand by the door.
I neither go too far in nor stay too far out.
The door is the most important door in the world.
It is the door through which men walk when they find God.
There's no use by going away inside and staying there.
So when many are still outside, and they as much as I,
crave to know where the door is.
And all that so many never find
is only the wall where a door ought to be.
They creep along the wall like a mountain
with outstretched groping hands,
feeling for a door, knowing there must be a door.
Yet they never find it. So I
stand
by the
door.
Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him
and he with me.
Thank you.
It's been great to know that the Lord's holding on to us no matter what the storm may be. Invite the praise band that they can be seated. And you can stand as we hear God's word here this morning. Our text today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, 13 through 27. If you can't stand, that's okay. Just want you to know that. I'll read in Jesus' name, Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked them, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Heavenly Father, help us to be the two that were walking on this road this morning, and to have Jesus join us and to tell us, and maybe listen to what he told these two men that we need to hear too. It made a difference in their lives later that day, but Lord, may it make a difference in our lives right here this morning and this day. We pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. What has really kind of caught my attention in that text here today is where it says that Jesus began telling them about Moses and all the prophets as he explained to them what was in the scriptures, what had to happen to the Messiah, the one to come. And here you have the Messiah himself telling them these things. It's kind of, he's giving them a little theology 101 along the road as they're walking along to Emmaus. So what happens here is that Jesus helps these two guys. We only know the name of one of them. We don't know what the name of his sidekick is. But it's Cleopas. It's really kind of the one that speaks up. And Jesus starts to tell them all what the scriptures have said about himself. Now, I'm not going to do all that because I'm not sure what he said to them, but I can just pick some things out of the Old Testament and realize and remember that's all there was. There was no New Testament. So Jesus is going to talk to these two men on the road to Emmaus And what he says of them, it's going to all come from the Old Testament. Because the New Testament doesn't exist at the time this takes place. So I want you to think back in your life of where God has helped you or tried to help you along the way. You know, many of us, we don't have to walk on roads. But you probably did growing up. Some of you went to school. You had to walk to school. Both ways was uphill. Right?
And the snow.
Oh, yeah, and the snow banks were big. I just want you to think, take a little time today to think about, you know, where has God helped you along the way in your life, no matter where you're at? Or where he tried to help you and you just didn't want to hear it. Is it possible that you have missed connecting some dots in your life of where the Lord has been active, but you just didn't want it? You didn't want to hear it. You just kind of walked away from it. Jesus is helping these two men deal with what has taken place in Jerusalem. And this is the day of the resurrection, when it takes place. But Jesus is trying to help these guys to connect the dots of what they thought about the Christ or the Messiah. Christ is the word that is used in Greek. Messiah is the word that's used in Hebrew. It's interesting that the song I Am that we sang right before the message is also the name for God. And that's where we get the name Yahweh from, I Am. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So the conversation happened on the same day in which Jesus was seen alive, but these guys were not there to see Jesus alive. They just kind of heard different reports. They had heard from the ladies who went to the tomb of seen some angels that told them that he's not here, that he's alive, and they went back to tell the disciples he's gone. Relayed him, or he was laid in the tomb, and he's gone. Only one, we talked about her last week, Mary Magdalene, is the one that went back, and she's the one that was able to see Jesus alive for the first, she's the first one to see him alive. And she goes back and tells, but Jesus told her to go tell the disciples that he is alive and where to go once they leave Jerusalem. Go back up to Galilee and they will find him there. They'll see him there. So they're walking on this road, and it's probably a dusty road. It's not a paved road. It's more likely it's dust. And then they're heading to Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they have a man that comes and just joins them. And remember, the Passover is taking place in Jerusalem. There's thousands of people that go there, just like, you know, people that thousands come to Okoboji in the summertime, especially on the 4th of July. And this man, I mean, everybody's kind of leaving Jerusalem. And this man comes and joins them and kind of talks about, hey, dudes, what's happening? What's that? It says here that they stand still. These guys, they come and they stand still on the road as they're walking it, but they come, they don't move. You can tell by their faces that there's something that's really bothering them. They got long faces. They're kind of bewildered over everything that has happened in Jerusalem. They're religious leaders, what they've done to this man who's done such great things and has always spoke with power, done many miracles. They had him crucified. He died. But it's the third day. You know, it's the third day, and they've heard reports that he's alive. And so Jesus just says, what things are you talking about? And so they're confused over the Messiah because they always thought that the Messiah would come for political reasons. He'd come and set Israel free from the Roman rule that they were under. And that's not the Messiah that the Old Testament talks about. The Old Testament talks about a suffering servant. The Messiah would be one who knows how to, is a man of sorrows, as the prophets talked about. And we get a little picture of him in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. We also hear from what David wrote in the Psalms. Psalm 22 and 32 and 51, they kind of talk about, especially 22 talks about someone who's being crucified, and we just say, you know, it's got to be Jesus that they're talking about here. They can count his ribs that he's hanging on this tree, on this cross. And the dogs referred to that come around are the Gentiles. Another name for the Gentiles are dogs. That's us, unless you're a Jew here today. So if somebody calls you a dog, you have to go like, yep, that's me. I'm a dog. You're a Gentile. But Isaiah talks about a suffering servant, and even in Isaiah chapter 53, you will find that it says that he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. There's no one else that it can be describing than Jesus and his crucifixion. We go back to Moses. In the first, Moses is one that is said that he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Numbers, and those are called the books of the law. There's five books Moses wrote. And it is where Moses, we also know that, he went to Midian to watch sheep. And it was there when he's watching sheep that he saw the burning bush that never burned up. It was a bush that was on fire, but it never burned up. And he took his sandals off, and he knew he was on holy ground, and he got closer to the bush, and he heard God speaking to him audibly. And God wanted him to go back to Egypt and to take his people out of Egypt. And Moses is kind of like, are you kidding me? Why would anybody listen to me? You might be here today and say that yourself when it comes to sharing Jesus with your family members or your friends. Why would they listen to me? They will. They will listen to you, even if you don't think so. Scary stuff, though, isn't it? It's at the burning bush where God says to Moses, you tell them, I am who I am, is sending you. That's the name for God. I am. What does Jesus say in John's gospel seven times? I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, he says it seven times. I am the good shepherd. On and on. I am the vine. And you are the branches. I am sending you. Jonah, one of the minor prophets. We all know who Jonah is, don't we? Have you ever ran away from God? It's kind of Jonah. God tells him to go to Nineveh, and he goes the opposite direction. And he wants to get really far away, and he finds a boat. He gets on his boat and heads to Spain. And Nineveh is the other direction. But he comes back. God is with him, and he comes back to his senses and begins to follow God. He actually obeys God after this. time it is being swallowed by a big fish. Talk about confining. There's no being independent when you're stuck inside of a big fish. You like being independent. We all do. It's part of the American way too, isn't it? We like independence. But there's time where God has to just get a hold of us, and the time that we cannot do anything for ourselves. And we finally just have to say, Lord, okay, I surrender. I give you my heart, I give you my life, I'll do it your way. I'm tired of doing it my way. It never seems to work out that way. But Jesus is referring to himself as he talks to these two guys, and he uses the scriptures in doing that. They still don't recognize who he is. They don't recognize him until that evening, and he does something very amazing. He pretends that he's going to go further on, and these two guys say, oh, come and have supper with us. It's getting late, you know. You got to eat. You got to be hungry like we are. And so Jesus now serves these two guys. He gives them bread, and he breaks it. And then they remember, this is Jesus they've been talking to or listening to the whole time. And as soon as they realize that, the light bulb turns on in their brain, what happens? It says that Jesus disappears. He's gone. And there's some conversation that these guys have after that. Incredible. We all need our eyes open. You've talked about that in past Sundays. You can have physical sight, but you can still be spiritually blind and not see anything spiritually. You can have gone to church for many, many years and still be spiritually blind. I hope that's not the case today. So remember, Jesus is telling these two guys about the Old Testament. He's using the scriptures that are known by all the Jews. It's the Old Testament that is familiar to us. And he's pointing, the Old Testament always points to Jesus. If you don't see Jesus in the Old Testament, you're blind. You're blind. The Old Testament always points ahead to the cross, points forward to the Messiah. We can be fortunate we live today because we can look back at the cross and to see all that was done there for us. That's how much God loves us and cares about us. So the Old Testament is very important. It helping us to connect the dots about Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Jews today still do not believe in the New Testament. They disregard it. Unless you're a Jew for Jesus. If you're a Jew for Jesus, you believe the New Testament. But it's a huge mistake to avoid the Old Testament. And I think we've heard from Pastor Dan Winkovich. You know, he kind of is here on Sundays when I'm gone. And he always makes this statement. I preach from the Old Testament. You know why? Because a lot of pastors today just stay in the New Testament. You never hear anything from the Old Testament. And there's a lot of truth in that. A lot of churches and preachers today stay away from the Old Testament because they see it only as God's judgment on people. God is a very judgmental God, and you got to look at the whole picture there. It's like, why is he judgmental? It's because of sin. There's idolatry. The people keep worshiping idols. They keep depending on other things other than the true God who he is, and he's done everything he can for them to see that his presence is with them from the very beginning. And the people have said, no, we'd rather have a king like all the other nations around us. We just want one guy to be a king. And God warned him. He said, well, if you get a king, that means you're going to have to pay taxes. Be Before this, they didn't have to pay any taxes. They didn't have to take care of one guy and pay for everything that he did, plus his family and what have you, and the trips and all those things. Sound familiar today? Don't we do that for our president? He can go anywhere he wants, and so this tab is taken care of by who? By you. And we see God's hatred of sin very clearly in the Old Testament. But there's always grace there too. There's always a remnant of people who obey him, who follow him. They're probably the minority. Because we all are like sheep who wander away and like to go our own way. But it's repentance that comes back when we say, God, I'm sorry. I just have been such a fool. I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I want to go my own way, and I do. But God's grace comes to those who are lost and miserable and unbelieving. And he says there's a better way, and it's called faith. Trust in me. Trust in what I said, what I say to you, and what I've done for you along the way. And when there's faith that comes alive in a person, guess what the kissing cousin of faith is? It's called obedience. You obey what God says. Before you didn't want to. Well, now you're like, I want to obey him. That's when you know faith has really taken hold of your heart and your life. If you don't want to obey God, you can't be a Christian. You can't be. Obedience is very important to the Lord. If you listen, you'll find life. If you refuse God's words, you're going to find captivity, disobedience, and death. But the choice is yours. Many churches today want to have there to be fun. The church should be a place where you have lots of fun and it's non-judgmental, and they want you to embrace the ways of the world. And so the church, in a lot of ways, is no different than what you see going on in the world. And I don't think that's right. The church, if it's to be a light, it's going to be different. And it goes on around and about us. The world says, eat, drink, and be merry. But we do that after church. But we drink coffee. We eat. And we enjoy the fellowship of other believers. But it's different than the world. So God's word always means something. If you're part of the crowd that says, eat, drink, and be merry, as the world says, well, then really God's word means nothing to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that we are people that are sinners. We mess up more than what we'd like to say that we do. We're not perfect by any means. But we thank you for your forgiveness that comes to us, that cleanses us, that cleans us up, that gives us a new direction in life and new desires that would not come any other way other than through you, through your Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, even though we are fallen sinners, we're grateful for the resurrection because we know that there is a new hope. A renewed life that comes through Jesus. As he is the door. I should take that back. He's not only the door, like the gate. But that we all have a heart. That is the door. That Jesus comes and knocks on. And he could be knocking on someone's heart here this morning, but he'll never force his way in. He just knocks and he waits for us to invite him in. Why do we find that so difficult to understand? When we go to someone else's house, even today, we either ring the doorbell or we knock on the door. And we wait until somebody opens it. And if it's not open, we know that probably nobody's home or they just don't want us to come in. Lord, today we can really lose out big time. If we know you're knocking and we don't open the door for you and say, come on in. I've been waiting for you. I need you. Come, please come on in. It's so good to have you here. That's the way it is with Jesus. It's simple. May we not make it complicated. I think many of us here, Lord, have seen the picture of Jesus knocking on the door. And if we notice that door that he's knocking on, there is no doorknob. There is no way that door can be opened if someone from the inside opens the door and welcomes him in. It's no different today. Lord, I don't know who knows you that's here today and who doesn't know you today, but you do. You know every heart. And you love every one of us, regardless of what we have done in the past, what we've done, what we're going to do today, what we're going to do in the future. You still want to be a Savior to all of us. But only those who open the door of their hearts, their lives, that you will come into. And you change us from the inside out. So thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be able to connect the dots today. Jesus is here. Jesus is speaking. May we be good listeners. And may he have his way in everyone that is here today. And those who are joining us by Zoom. And so let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord reveal to you his goodness, his greatness, his love for you. And may you come to him. And let him have his way in your heart and your life, today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.